from KQED.
Welcome back to Form. I'm Dave Iverson. If you're going out tonight to your favorite local watering hole, last call comes shortly before 2 a.m. But if you were going out in New York City, New Orleans, Chicago, or Washington, D.C., bar time extends until 4 a.m. And State Senator Mark Leno thinks California cities should have the option of allowing a select number of night spots to do the same. As all lawmakers are wont to do, Senator Leno offered an economic rationale for his proposal that keeping the lights on until 4 a.m. would, quote, create jobs, expand business, and increase tax revenue. But critics argue that late night hours would be a public safety hazard, increasing alcohol-related incidents and car accidents as well. We're going to take up Senator Leno's proposal during the second half hour of our opening hour of Forum today. Joining us, State Senator Mark Leno. He is in the California State Senate representing District 3, which includes Marin County and parts of Sonoma and San Francisco counties as well. Senator Leno, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, David. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Happy to have you join us. Joining us as well is Bruce Lee Livingston. He is the executive director and CEO of Alcohol Justice, an alcohol industry watchdog group. So let's start with the basics, Senator Leno. Is it as primarily an economic initiative as your quote that I just read would suggest?
Your introduction is quite admirable. I think you've explained it rather well. First of all, let me just say that this legislation, should it become law, will require nothing of anybody. All it does is gives an authority to cities in California, which does not currently exist, so that a city like San Francisco could consider creating new jobs, expanding businesses, and increasing tax revenue by bringing together all the stakeholders on this issue, and that would be neighborhood voices, business leaders, healthcare providers, emergency room workers, transportation advocates, all the different stakeholders, to craft a plan that would allow for after-hour alcohol beverage service from 2 to 4 a.m., most likely in those parts of town which already are zoned for after-hour entertainment, and submit that plan after full public comment and participation to the California Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, the ABC. The ABC would then, through another public process with public comment, review the plan from San Francisco or any other city that should decide to submit a plan, and then if they were to approve it, those establishments in San Francisco which meet the standards of the plan approved by the ABC could then go through a third step and apply for an after-hours alcoholic beverage service permit.
So
it's
the
very
key,
thoughtful.
Yeah, so the key from your point of view, it sounds like, are two things. One, it's a thorough process that gets vetted at several different venues and locations, and,
yes,
and the authority resides in the end with the state to sort of bless that. But also that this is not a one-size-all proposal. It's not saying it's opening up bars everywhere until 4 in the morning or even all parts of one city. It's saying make this an option in certain select places?
That is right. And that would, again, be left up to the local leaders to decide how they want to do it. But it's beyond my imagination that San Francisco would create a plan to submit to the ABC that would allow for 2 to 4 a.m. service at your neighborhood pub or corner bar. That's really not what we're talking about. It would be in areas of town which already have late-night entertainment. And so you asked me, is it just about the business and job and tax benefits that we're introducing this? It's also recognizing that we have a whole new generation of young tech workers who are coming to San Francisco and other parts of the business world as well, and not everyone works Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. People are working around the clock, playing around the clock, and this just gives a couple more hours of the kind of entertainment options that almost all of us are accustomed to.
Let's hear from Bruce Livingston, again, Executive Director and CEO of Alcohol Justice, and his reaction to this plan. For Senator laid out and the way in which he would like to see it work and that it would be selective and carefully reviewed, what's not good enough about that idea?
Well, what's not good enough is first the concept we have to get back to is that hours could be extended from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock throughout the state of California. There are myriad potential public safety and public health harms. I just want to just say a few words about those again. We're talking police costs, disturbances. ABC staffing is woefully inadequate already. There's one staff person for ABC for every 1,000 licenses. There's noise potential. On the public health side, of course, there's an increased risk for DUIs after 2 a.m. again. And even more in California than driving problems, there are risks of violence and injury from fighting. It's actually been shown, especially in the minority community, that it's much more harmed by the alcohol harm in minority communities. Latinos and African-Americans in California is much more from violence-related incidences, alcohol-fueled violence, than from traffic collisions.
And what
that's
do we
just
know?
The basic public health and public safety, and not even talking about the plan.
Right. But what do we know from other experiences? In other words, is there evidence from New York or Chicago or New Orleans that there is a higher incidence of DUIs, for example, if in those places that keep their bars open until 4 in the morning?
You know, I would love to have Mothers Against Drunk Driving involved in this conversation, since they were involved in the 2004 discussion when Senator – well, at that time, Assemblyman Leno introduced legislation that was defeated that would especially create this sort of a plan in San Francisco. But there is strong evidence, and public health and public safety advocates, people who work on local as well as national and state alcohol issues, were not invited in the room to construct this piece of legislation. We first heard about it 3 or 4 days ago when it was actually introduced on the bill deadline.
No, I mean, it's from a common sense point of view, and I want to get Senator Leno's view on this as well. It would seem obvious that if you're going to keep bars open for a couple more hours, that there would be an increase and alcohol-related incidents. I guess I just want to know, has that been shown? Do we know that that happens?
What
evidence exists that tell us that this is something to be concerned about?
There's plenty of evidence about that. And what we're going to do is
– Well, where – can you tell me where the evidence is or
well,
what we've
– there's a study about Europe and especially London England that showed increased police activity and increased neighborhood disturbances, increased health and personal issues from increasing bar hours to well into the morning. A study was just released last week by I believe the author was Fried Wittman, who's a very well-known local alcohol researcher, about the problems with bars that restaurants that morph into bars late at night, which is increasingly happening. Most incidences of crime of disturbances in California are from restaurants, not from bars, and they happen between 10 and 2 a.m. already. It's not that it just happens after last call when they hit the streets. And that's in that recent report that just came out last week, and we'll help get it posted on your website.
Senator Leno, your response to that particular concern, because there is at least a common sense sort of view here that if you're going to keep bars open for a couple of more hours, there's going to be a ripple effect on public safety, on car accidents. Police are going to have to do more. The staffing issue that Mr. Livingston mentioned. How do you respond to those concerns?
Certainly. And I just want to underscore that I take the public safety issue very seriously, and that's why we've crafted the bill the way we have, so that all of these voices will be heard as a city, should it decide to even take advantage of this opportunity. There's no certainty that any cities will, but if one does, that these voices will be at the table as the plan is being crafted before it's submitted to the ABC. But very specifically, David, in response to your question, Washington State was considering this, as was the city of Seattle. And the Seattle police chief, Clark Kimmer, looked at this and came to a conclusion that the status quo, which he defined as uniform closing times, where all establishments in a metropolitan area close at once, actually is more dangerous than when the closing times are staggered. And this was his reasoning, that a simultaneous or uniform closing time, and he has a whole study that he looked at, creates a synergy of risk factors such as increased risk of intoxication from rapid drinking on a short schedule. We know that people are chugging drinks right up to the last minute as they all then are poured into the streets. Large crowds forced into limited space with restrictions on mobility to move quickly. He also said there's increased demands on police services, distracting resources from other priorities. His conclusion was that it actually makes more sense, more public safety sense, to have, let's say, 80% of your establishments in a metropolitan area close at 2, but then in these certain areas, stagger it until 4 o'clock, and then you have a better way to handle the crowds and a better way to use public safety services more effectively. And
it's
so
an interesting,
he was in full support.
Right.
Of
it's an interesting
this.
Point, although yeah. we should also note that Seattle in the end decided not to go that way. So the police chief apparently was not persuasive in making that argument.
And even in 2004, the California Peace Officers Association opposed your legislation, Senator Leno. I think in a time when we are looking at neighborhood density in every part of the city and increasing housing in every part of the city, there are very few parts of the city that are really going to be an entertainment district like the Gaslamp District in San Diego, which has had tremendous local problems. There have been tremendous fights in San Diego over legislating that district and what goes on there because of the huge density of young people getting inebriated in that district. So you're talking – the other point I wanted to get to, since you're talking so much about jobs and economic development, is that this is just a huge round of bureaucracy that we're talking about where every city has to address not only a plan – which we are woefully understaffed to start engaging into, but it ends up with these hearings that may or may not happen if people hear locally about these individual bars that are applying for the 2-4 license. There will be endless hearings of findings of public convenience and necessity, which are really, really cumbersome processes and obscure processes for the public to engage into on every bar and restaurant that is applying for a license. There are thousands of licenses a year that are applied for already.
And I assume, Senator Leno, your response in part is, then don't do it. I mean, that this is just an option that people can or cannot pursue.
Well, thanks for reiterating that point. This legislation doesn't require anything of anybody. You know, this is not such a novel concept. There are already 18 states in this country that allows for alcohol service beyond 2 a.m. and another 6 states that allow cities to decide to do so should they want to go in this direction. We're not just talking about big cities like Chicago, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Atlanta, Miami, but Buffalo, New York, and Albany, New York. And then, of course, international capitals, Barcelona, Tokyo, Berlin, Rio de Janeiro, Sydney. This is not a novel concept. Now, with all due respect, and I want to say this quite seriously, to the good work that Bruce Livingston does at Alcohol Justice, we have been partners on many issues, fighting big alcohol, the way they market to underage kids with beer commercials during the Super Bowl. We've worked together to raise the tax on alcohol so that we can provide for mitigation services for some of the harm that is caused by irresponsible use of alcohol. But Bruce and I disagree on this point, and for those who do think that one additional drop of alcohol served is one drop too many, I'm not here to argue with that person. It's a well-held belief, and I wouldn't argue with someone. But for those of us who think that this can be done, and not only can be, but is done around the world and in a responsible fashion, that there are things that we can learn from these other
right.
cities, both positively and negatively, and proceed with an option for cities that we don't allow for currently.
Well, let's hear from our listeners. What do you think about this idea, Senator Leno's idea, that cities be given the option to consider granting selectively to certain bars and restaurants the ability to stay open until 4 in the morning? Join us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org, or you can post your thoughts on our Facebook page or on our website. Here's some of what people are posting already on our Facebook page. Autumn writes, I don't see why not. San Francisco closes embarrassingly early as it is. It's galling to explain to out-of-town friends how few late night options are available in our supposedly cosmopolitan city. Crystal says the question should be, when will public transportation be available 24 hours a day, and how can it be safer and more accessible? Muggings on MTA and driving drunk are much bigger issues than last call. Jan writes, why? Do we want to promote more drinking later into the early morning hours if it will just create more problems for our already overwhelmed police departments? Do a risk management evaluation. It will say no. And Andy says, who sitting in a bar at 2 a.m. will really benefit from another 2 hours opportunity to drink? So lots of concerns coming in, and we'd like to hear yours as well. Join us at 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org. Let me ask the public transportation part of this to both Senator Leno and Bruce Livingston. Bruce Livingston first. I would guess that one of your concerns is that we're not like New York. We don't have a subway that covers the entire grid of the city, even in San Francisco, which has a better public transportation system than probably any other city in the West. You still don't have ready opportunity to just hop on the subway, and that means more people will be in cars. Is that key to your concern?
Right, and we're not just talking about San Francisco, of course, but just on the San Francisco and Bay Area issue, there's a night owl bus from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning. BART at Powell Street doesn't arrive till 5:30 in the morning on a weekend. There is no transportation. Taxis, you know, $15 to get home in San Francisco at least, if you can get one. It's just an impossible feat to really get home safely at 2 a.m.
What about that, Mark Leno? I mean, we're not in New York. We don't have the subway.
Well, in fact, BART does begin service four nights a week at 4 a.m. So, again, not everyone's working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Some people have weekdays off and go out to party and entertain themselves during the week. And one could leave one's car at home, take BART in, and whereas if you are going home at 2 a.m., you don't have BART, but if you're going home at 4 a.m., you would have access to BART. And then with regard to a $15 taxi ride, well, some people can't afford it, some people can't, but there is that option. And with regard to criticisms of San Francisco's taxi availability, we now have a variety of apps that we can reach on our phone for the same cost as a taxi, be able to get a car to where you are within 5 or 10 minutes. So there are a lot of options, but these are exactly the kinds of conversations that could be held as the local plan is being put together. And who knows, maybe if there is a new marketplace for additional transit, that BART would extend its services, or Muni might extend its services in certain parts of town, certain early hours of certain days. This would all be a part of the plan that would be put together so ABC could see
right.
The city is really prepared to move forward.
Bruce Livingston, a quick response, and I'm going to get to our calls.
Yeah. I mean, we're not against drinking. We're not against, economic development at these restaurants and bars as it is. But we worked with against the same coalition that is promoting this piece of legislation to try to get an alcohol mitigation fee in San Francisco to pay for the $18 million of health care costs that are already endured by San Francisco and the $9 billion a year of government costs throughout California from alcohol. We need to charge for harm, and it's not in this bill. There's going to be a lot more cost to government.
Yeah, what about that, Senator Leno? Why not factor into this proposal a way of covering some of those costs?
We very much have. And again, that's part of the plan. In Chicago, for example, there is a special fee that an establishment pays to be able to access the additional 2 hours of alcoholic service in Illinois. So that could be very much a part of the plan so that the public is not charged the expense of this additional service.
There's no fee on your bill now.
No, but that's what you're not understanding, Bruce. This is all allowed in the plan that we would authorize cities to produce.
So cities could come up with that.
Anything.
Yeah.
The bill does nothing to give authority. And so if a city said, okay, we're going to do this, but for you establishments that are going to benefit from this, we want X, Y, and Z to mitigate the additional cost to the public for letting this happen. That would very likely be in our plan in San Francisco. I would bet that it certainly would.
Let's hear from some of our listeners what they think about this idea of keeping bars open until 4 in the morning. We'll go through a series as quickly as we can. Stephanie, what do you think?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the viewpoint of somebody who, when I was younger, would go out to bars and clubs and even an adult going out and paying for a sitter and wanting to get a break. When I was younger, we would go out, we'd get to the bars at 11, they closed down at 2, we've had, you know, 3 or 4 hours of drinking, and then we're on the road. When I was in states where the bars or clubs were open later, we would go and we would drink, and our drinking would taper off as it would get later, and that would give us more time to actually sober up and get on the road.
Okay. All right. Stephanie, thanks. Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for adding that in. Let's hear next from Mike. Mike, what do you think? Are you in favor of keeping the bars open?
I am not. I've lived on 16th and Guerrero for over 10 years, and unfortunately what I don't think is being discussed here is this really holds the people who live in the neighborhood hostage. Mm. You know, when these bars get out at 2:30 in the morning, you have 500 people spilling onto the streets, loud, drunk, and the police, what they're looking for are fights. This does not take in the fact that you've got people who are extremely loud, and the people who live in the neighborhood can't do anything about it. So you're woken up in the middle of the night.
Mike,
now you want to tack 2 more hours onto it. It just matter worse.
Mike, thanks. Jay, before I get to our next caller, Senator Leonard, why don't you respond to that? Because that's a very basic concern that Mike raises.
I may be mistaken, and please correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe there is a single after-hour entertainment permit in the 16th and Guerrero or Mission District area. So that's not a part of town that San Francisco currently allows to have operations from 2 to 4 a.m. So that likely is not, very likely not, what part of town that our plan would include if San Francisco were to move forward.
But there are going to be Mikes. There are going to be people like Mike in other areas that might have this. So for someone like Mike who's concerned about noise and fighting, what do you say?
That voice would be at the table as the plan is being created so that concerns could be heard and dealt with. I can't tell you exactly what the San Francisco plan would look like that would be submitted to the ABC, or if when it gets to the ABC is going to say, you didn't listen to Mike and his neighbors when they spoke up, so we're not going to approve your plan. Get back to work. So, again, this is just authorizing legislation. We think that there are multiple safeguards, 3 big hoops that need to be gone through before an establishment would even get an after-hours permit. So we think it's a very comprehensive process.
Let's hear from Patrick next. Patrick, what do you think?
Hi, I'm a Sydney, Australia expat living in San Francisco. Our bars generally close at 4 a.m. Some do have 24-hour licenses, so coming over here was a big shock to close at 2. But you know, and I just came back from Berlin. They close at 6, go on all weekend. But I think what it really comes down to is education of the drinking public, and also as you mentioned before, the public transport. For San Francisco, just not enough taxis in my personal opinion for a city of this size, and it does make it incredibly difficult to get home, to the point where personally I don't even go out anymore because I just can't get home.
All right.
If I'm drinking. So
Patrick, thank you. Thanks. Let's hear one more. Catherine is up next. Catherine, go ahead. Or sorry, Catherine, we'll get to you. Sen in Fremont.
Hi. I have one question and one comment. Is there a cost-value proposition done? I want to add a little bit more to the Mike's question. Having open bar until 4 a.m., how is it going to help? You have to increase the police presence, and is there any cost-value proposition done? That is one.
Sen, number thanks. Let me get an answer to your question first. Senator Leno, Mark Leno, any cost-benefit analysis that's been done on this idea?
Again, I think that's something that would be a very reasonable thing for any city that decides to pick up this opportunity and this option that the legislation would provide. I would imagine they would look at what additional law enforcement costs there would be, and then figure out a way to pay for it, certainly with increased permit fees for those establishments that would be applying for them and receiving them. Clearly, there will be profits to be made, and those profits, I think, should be used to mitigate the public costs for the operation of these establishments from 2 to 4 a.m. So I think that can certainly be dealt with.
Bruce?
Well, you keep referring, and Senator Leno, I love working with you. We've got a great history together, and I'm sure it'll continue. But you keep referring to recouping the cost at the local level. Prop 26 2 years ago eliminated that possibility. It's now two-thirds vote.
Remind us of what of Prop 26?
For environmental and alcohol and tobacco mitigation fees, it now says that it's a two-thirds vote of both houses at the state level or a two-thirds vote of the people to pass a mitigation fee at the local level. We don't have that option. And you're talking about passing legislation that will have tremendous local costs if and when they implement this on a case-by-case basis after a plan. And the capacity is just not there. The cost-benefit analysis needs to happen on your legislation at the state level before this local option is passed. Normally, I support local option. In this case, it just is not a good idea. The power of the industry is tremendous.
And Senator Leno, I'll let you respond to that. But before I do, let's get Catherine in since I jumped over you accidentally once before. Catherine, go ahead. Just a brief thought, please.
Hi, good morning. I think Senator Leno is not dealing with reality. He makes it sound like a bunch of techies from Google. You know, fresh-faced people are going out for their first beer at 3 a.m. If you've been to a bar in San Francisco at 2 a.m., people are out of their minds. And the other thing I want to point out is to compare San Francisco with a terrible transportation system to New York, where I've lived, or Chicago, where I've lived, or even cities in Europe that are historically walking cities, it's not dealing with reality. And the last thing I'll say is, one night in a hospital for an individual who's been in a car wreck is so wildly expensive for all of us. I think, Senator Leno, with all due respect, you're out of your mind.
Catherine, thanks for being so blunt. And Senator Leno, I'll let you give you an opportunity to be equally straightforward.
Sure. There, I think, is a little bit overreaction here in that if Catherine's point of view is the point of view of the city of San Francisco, and that point of view is communicated to the mayor and to the Board of Supervisors as they are convening neighborhood groups to construct the plan that would be proposed to the ABC, and the ABC is going to look at this and see if all stakeholders had been heard, because that's their job, and they do that regularly as they consider permits for alcohol currently, then this isn't going to happen.
Yep. And we'll have to hold it right there. Senator Mark Leno, thanks so much for being with us. Bruce Livingston of Alcohol Justice, thanks as well. Thanks to all our listeners, all our Facebook commenters for your participation. Fascinating question. We'll continue to watch it in the weeks ahead. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.